Blessing to and privilege to share with you. We'll just commit the word into the Lord's hands. Father, I just thank you. Lord, you're faithful, that you're now teaching by revelation. You are preparing an end time body of saints, preparing an army that will pull down Satan's strongholds, that will reap a harvest of souls in this end time. Thank you, Father, that you are calling a people to move on beyond Pentecost into the fullness of Christ. We thank you, Father, that you are imparting this vision to us through your word, the anointed word, that word in our heart ministered to us by the ministry that you're raising up, as well as directly. And I thank you, Father, for this. I thank you for the anointing. I thank you for hearts to hear, Lord, and to do, and to fulfill end time purposes for each life. I thank you, Father, for this, in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise God. Well, I'm just going to thank you for those monitoring, for the music, for those monitoring, the admin. Praise the Lord. Really appreciated. Everything each one of us does is what helps the assembly to function. Praise God. So tonight, just a few thoughts on the vision, a few thoughts on the cross, what it means, where we're going, what this assembly is all about, why we are here, why God has called us to the kingdom at such a time. You know, what is the vision? What is it that we're supposed to be believing? And I'll just make a few general remarks on that. I would ask that those who know what the vision is, to not, when I say things that you already know, it's just a human, it's the function of the brain, isn't it, really? Oh, I already know this. And we kind of shut off, and then something new might come out and we miss it. So let's approach this with an open mind, an open heart. We'll learn something new. And those who haven't heard this before, those for whom this is entirely new, bear with. You know, it takes a long time, it takes a lifetime to truly understand and learn this vision. I would hate to lose fellowship with you or to cause an offence through nothing more than a misunderstanding. So please, let's, you know, I'm trusting the Lord in this, and I trust that you've come open and that you'll check these things out. We always say, you know, don't believe a thing just because a certain person says it, but talk it out with the Lord. He is, you know, he's filled us with the Spirit of truth. He's the God of truth. As we open our hearts, and as we open our hearts to him and talk these things out with the Lord, he will confirm it. Our faith is about a relationship. Faith, yes, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. But the whole purpose of that word, that revelation, that message, is to inspire us to take these things before the Lord, before him, and let him confirm, let him work these things in our life. You know, it's the Lord who has promised in at least one place that he is working in us both to will and to do for his good pleasure, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight, and making us perfect in every good work to do his will. It's by grace, through faith, praise God, and even that's not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, praise the Lord. So let's begin on this, some thoughts on the vision. Now, what is the vision? Many people have set forth a vision, and one of the most incredible things, really, is part of what God is doing, the restoration. That's part of the vision, restoring fivefold ministry. But you know, so much hurt has been done to the body of Christ, so much damage has been done to believers, either because of a false vision or a lack of vision. And you know, at the end of the day, it's better that the pulpit remains empty than that the wrong person is in there. And I include myself in that. You know, we ask for prayers. We do ask for prayer. And those prayers before God include the fact that if I start going astray, or if the error, either in word or spirit, that comes out of my mouth is of such a, you know, of such a thing, I would expect to be removed. I wouldn't want to be in a place where I've ministered anything but the truth in love. And so God is grace, God in his mercy, you know, he hasn't made a mistake. Praise God. He does anoint, he does lead. But I'm saying this because I don't want anyone to think that in presenting this, that, you know, any of us in this assembly are anything special. We've been called by God's grace. His Spirit has just got hold of our lives, and it's only grace that in which he's begun to show us these things and work them in our life. We're just earthen vessels, but praise God, he's given us that heart, hasn't he? That calling. He's opened our eyes to see. He's given us a heart that wants to see these things. And I think that's perhaps one of the most important things we're going to be saying tonight, is that do we have those ears to hear? Do we have that heart, that desire to know? You know, those who go deeper with the Lord, those who go all this, as it were, are simply those who want to. They have a desire. They want to make the most of what has been made available to them, and they're just going to go as far as they want. And that's the whole key to this thing called the deeper life. You and I will go as far as we want, as far as we're prepared, you know, to make that commitment. God isn't going to force, but he does present these things to us. And as we look at, in time to come, as we look at what it is to count the cost and choose the cross, God will take us as far and as deep as we're prepared to go, praise God. Be it unto us according to the faith. So the title then, Thoughts on the Vision. Thoughts on the vision. Praise God. One learns a few things over the years and through a few trials. Yes, begins with a book. It begins with reading, with praying, meditating. But we only really learn, don't we, through trials. Praise God. And with fellowship as well. Fellowship with others of like mind, of like spirit, who've been through these things. And God imparts knowledge, revelation through each one of us. We all teach each other. Praise God. That's one of the wonderful things about fellowship. So, let's start then. This thing called a vision. What is the vision? Stated generally, the vision is the revelation. It is the revelation of God's future purposes for his people. It is the revelation of God's future plans and purposes for his people. It doesn't come overnight. It's not necessarily a dream or a vision, although it can come that way, but it comes by the message, the word in your heart. The Holy Spirit reveals end time plans and purposes over a lifetime as we submit, as we receive His word in our hearts. It revolves around the message of the cross. It doesn't begin until we've taken up our cross. Praise God. God has a plan, a purpose for the life of every believer. Every single believer, especially those that have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, God has a plan, a purpose for your salvation. His motive is love. He saved you because He is love. That's His grace. But He also has a purpose. And that's what this vision is all about. What is God doing in this end time? What is the purpose of my being in an assembly? What is God really saying over my life? Let's have a look. Let's start with some scriptures in this. Proverbs chapter 28. Again, these things will doubtless be familiar. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. Proverbs 29 and verse 18. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. The Authorized Version will say, where there is no vision, the people perish. But where there is no revelation, where there's no, if you like, revelation from a prophet, a prophetic revelation, the people cast off restraint. If you look up that word in the Hebrew, it doesn't actually mean perish. It means to turn loose or to cut loose, to be loosened. And it implies a lack of discipline. It implies to get out of hand. Some people say that it means to wander about aimlessly. But the Hebrew speaks of a lack of discipline and to get out of hand. And let's compare that with other scriptures. We'll see what we mean by that. In Judges, the book of Judges, chapter 21. Judges chapter 21 and verse 25. So bear in mind, where there's no revelation, where there's no vision, where there's no teaching, the people cast off restraint. That's not a bad translation. It's better than perish. But a lack of discipline, they get out of hand. They have all that power, all that energy, but nowhere to go. You know, the charismatic excesses are a fine example of that, or, well, a sad example of that. They have no idea, really, why they're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Why do they speak in tongues? Why has God filled them with His Spirit Himself, His power? What is the purpose of that experience? And we're going to see through this that it's to go on beyond Pentecost into the very fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the fullness of God Himself. As we yield completely to the Holy Spirit, allow Him to empty us of the dross of self, God is perfecting, He's perfecting us. We're going to find out what the word perfecting means. Okay, it doesn't mean angelic or sinless perfection, but it means a completion, a maturing and a completion. A completion of the a completion or maturing of the fruit of the Spirit in our life. of holiness, of consecration. But all these things we'll look at later, and we'll give detail on it. So Judges 21 and verse 25, Judges 21 and verse 25, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Does that sound familiar? We get the same testimony in chapter 17. Chapter 17 and verse 6. Judges chapter 17 and verse 6. In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And you'll see from that sad indictment there that what they did, what was in their heart, was idolatry. They made images, whatever they wanted to, under every green tree, on the top of any hill. Any one of you who knows what paganism is, that's exactly what that was. And these were supposed to be God's people. There was no king, there was no ruler, there was no leader, there was no vision, there was no divine order. And we again get the same testimony, 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. The boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. These are dark times. And history repeats itself. History never changes. This is why I believe Scripture is a history. It is a history, not to be consigned to history. But if you understand that unless you're born again, right, basically human, unregenerate human nature never learns from history. Every generation repeats the mistakes of its parents. And God has to intervene in the affairs of humanity. God has to intervene. And so let's take it to the New Testament. Let's take this then to the New Testament, because unless God's grace opens the eyes of each generation of his people, we will make the same mistakes that our parents and our ancestors made. So in Luke 19, that we've just looked at Israel in the olden days. No revelation, there was no king, everyone did what they wanted. And then in Luke chapter 19, Jesus being rejected by his own people, exactly as the Lord had set it up. But in Luke 19, and he gives a parable, but let's look at it. Start with verse 12. So we'll start with verse 11, Luke 19, verse 11. As they heard these things, he spoke another parable. Luke chapter 19, beginning with verse 11. Because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore, he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him, and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this to reign over us, this man to reign over us. And then we go from verse 15 onwards, the parable of the talents there, to see how he deals with them, and to see how they dealt with the responsibility. So the point I want to make over this is in verse 14. They said, we will not have this man to reign over us. We'll turn at this point to John chapter 1 and verse 11. He came to his own, John chapter 1, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. He came to his own did not receive him. They did not want him to reign over them. Now, How is it in the New Testament church? We talk about, you know, Jesus is Lord and he's the King and he's my God and he's the head of the church. But one of the first things that the Lord is restoring, remember we looked in the Old Testament, there was no king. Everyone did what they wanted. There was no open revelation. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Friends, how are we going to have a vision? What is it when we get that vision? What is the first thing that changes in our life? How do we know we are receiving the vision that God is giving? Because many have a message, many have a vision, many have a word, but how do we know we're getting the end time message? How do we know that we are receiving, remember our definition that we looked at earlier, the revelation of God's end time plan and purposes for his people? Well, the first place we start is the cross. That Jesus is the King. He is King. His kingship is not in dispute. But unless we know he is fully and truly ruling and reigning over us, unless we've received the message of the cross, the message of discipleship, unless we are experiencing the restoration of the headship of Christ over the local assembly, we're going to do what we want and call it God. And so the first thing that the Lord is doing is restoring his kingship in our experience. He's restoring not only the message but the experience of his kingship in our experience in the local assembly. He's restoring that message, and he's doing that through discipleship, the message of discipleship. Now, with the vision, with this message, let's turn to Psalm 105. How do we know that this is happening to us? Very simply, because it is costing. We know we are receiving the message because it is costing us. Psalm 105, we'll start with verse 16. Moreover, he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread. You see, God's setting up the situation there. He's setting the scene. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. This message, this revelation, how do we know? It's because it's costing us. It's testing us. We're, as it were, we're in prison, we're confined. The cross is crucifying us. It's one thing, praise God, we've met the Lord, we've gone to Calvary, we now partake of his life, we're born again, his blood covers us, praise God. We've experienced the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we're mightily blessed, we're filled with his Spirit, we begin to speak in tongues. And it comes as a great surprise to many believers that that is not the ultimate of God's will for their lives. That is just the doorway. That is just the threshold, the beginning of a glorious journey. And the first thing we come to when we realize that, the first thing we come to when we realize this, is that we must go to the cross again. The second time. The first time was to partake of his life. The second time is to partake of his death, to fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ in his sufferings and death, is separation, sufferings, and death. Now, you remember when we looked earlier in Proverbs, the translation was there was a lack of discipline to get out of hand. Well, the first thing this walk is going to do, God is going to take you in hand. That discipline, he's going to work. And that breaking, that deliverance, this whole work, it's a training, it's the raising up of an army. And we are having removed from our hearts all things like fear, unbelief, all those things, hardness of heart, our own ideas, our own will, our own agenda, all of those things that would cause us to resist the Holy Spirit, that would cause us to express self-will. All those things are being removed so that none of us, all of Jesus. And then we begin to experience the vision. As we commit, as we bow the knee in this, let's look at Proverbs chapter 1. Let's take a scripture there. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 23. This is wisdom calling out, pleading with man to listen. Proverbs chapter 23 says, "Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you." But we have to turn. We must turn. That word turn, shuv in the Hebrew, means to repent, to turn from what we're doing. As we turn, as we listen to this message, as we listen to this word, these messages, and turn from our ways, our own selfish way, to God, God will pour out his spirit. He will give us that revelation, make his words known to us. And so the first way in which God is preparing this end time army of believers is by the baptism in the Holy Spirit. If we have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that is the first stage in our preparation. Because without the baptism, we will not be able to receive the deeper message. We will not be able to endure the trials. We will not get that revelation. Because that brings us into the second way in which God is preparing that army, and that is by direct revelation. Without that revelation, we will not be able to understand or apply the scriptures. The Christian faith, as well as faith of the Judaic faith as well, has always been revelation. Yes, to meditate, to spend time in the Word, to prayer. But dear friends, it's not striving to discover a truth. But as we open our hearts and wait on God, he will reveal himself. He will reveal his truth to us. And a lot of that truth now, a lot of that revelation, comes through the fivefold ministry. This is why we encourage you to pray for your ministry, that the revelation comes through them. And that's part of the vision, that's part of what he's restoring in this end time. That's part of the theocratic order in the church, the restoration of the ministry. In close association with the headship of Christ, the actual head is the restoration of the fivefold ministry. All five ministries, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, many such, not just one apostle, one prophet, but many. God is restoring throughout the body of Christ, and he's giving them the overcoming message, the message to prepare, the message to prepare for judgment, that things are going to get worse, the message that we are preparing, praise God, in this end time, taught, raised up an army, not only to pull down Satan's strongholds, but to reap a harvest, a huge harvest in this end time, unprecedented power and revival. Some of you won't like that word, but the greater works, the latter rain anointing, we're being prepared to walk in that. But it has a context within that discipline of restoration. We're being perfected. We mentioned that earlier. Perfection is part of the vision. Perfection is all part of it. Now, what is that perfection? What is this work then? Let's have a look at some details of the vision, praise God. A few general statements there that the Holy Spirit is working with us. So, we've said the baptism. We've then said direct revelation. And the third way in which he's preparing this army, we'll all be familiar with this, I believe, is the school of experience. The school of experience. We've got to go through our trials. The trials that God has in our life are to teach us the reality of the walk we're involved in. He's teaching us warfare. By these things that we go through on a daily basis, from season to season, it's through these things that the Holy Spirit is testing what's in our hearts, getting hold of our lives, and teaching us that warfare. Making fellowship all the more important, because we then fellowship with like-minded believers, believers who are going through the same things. We can encourage one another. We can help one another along in this. And the first thing that the Lord is going to show us, once he's got hold of our lives through the baptism, he will show us the cross. That cross is separation, suffering, death. Yes, I know we want to hear about the resurrection, but the resurrection cannot happen until the cross is at work, until the cross is working in our lives. Through this preparation, through this perfection, through yielding, emptying, through the things that God is showing us in the deeper life message, that is the vision. And as we consecrate ourselves to it, as a reflection of how we have consecrated ourselves to the Lord himself, we consecrate our vision. And just like Joseph, okay, we get the vision and it can minister pride. Joseph, when he got that, remember, of the sheaves bowing down to him, read it earlier in Psalm 105. Yes, eventually he was promoted by Pharaoh. The Lord of Egypt made him Lord of all. But when he first got that vision, he was proud. He was arrogant. Look at me. Look what vision I've got. Look what God has promised over my life. And it invoked, it provoked his brothers to jealousy. They sold him to slaves. He suffered as a result of that. He really suffered as a result of that. He ended up in prison. Yes, God gave him favor in one of the steward's eyes, Potiphar. He gave him favor in his eyes. And you can imagine, he experienced a freedom. He made him ruler in his house. And he was probably thinking, he was there for 2 years. Imagine, now that I have an amount of authority, now that my master trusts me, I'm thinking maybe I ought to start going back home now. His thoughts were probably going back to his father's house, to Israel. And that would not have been in God's plan. God had a plan for Joseph that required him to remain in Egypt. And so he was falsely accused. And he spent some more time in prison for something he didn't do. But God used him in that situation. And through a series of events, he was eventually brought before Pharaoh. And so it is with you and I, dear friends, in a prison experience of our own way of achieving the kingdom. All our plans must now be put to one side, and as we submit to the discipline of the Spirit in this prison, nothing seems to be happening. Dear friends, a reason that, let's go even deeper in this, because we're now to look at what this perfection really is, what it means, this completion, this maturity. A reason that some are depressed, some are apathetic, whatever, the reason that some are not experiencing the full joy, the full resurrection life and power of Christ, the blessings that should come from the cross, is because we're still, first of all, we haven't settled it. We're still trying to walk this walk in our own strength. The only way to prepare the heart to receive the message of the cross, to experience the cross, is to sweat it out before God, just like Jesus did. We settle, not my will, but yours be done. Your will for me is the cross, this vision, this whole walk, this whole experience cannot even begin until our cross. And that is what is going to release us into the perfect will of God. That is what will release us into the full experience. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. And yet, until that cross has done its work, we're fully going to yield to Him. We're frustrated, we're angry, we're upset, we can't get our own way, because we haven't settled that this is the walk. This is the way it is. And one way that I do it, if this helps you, and this thing we're looking at, write a list. I write a list. The name of the person, the thing, the job, the career, that obviously Jesus is the supreme love of my life, but write that down on a piece of paper. Who is, what is the supreme love of your life, the person, the thing, the career? Make a list. Place it before Him. Place it before the Lord and say, I want none of that unless it's on your terms. Can we do that? Can we actually make that list and say, Lord, I want none of this unless it's on your terms? Well, God is working it, isn't He? God is working that in our lives. That is the way we're going with it. I know that a lot of my failures, whether it be in terms of trials or temptations, I have failed to count the cost. I've not realised the reality of this. And the Lord keeps bringing back to me, Bob, less words, more experience. Just shut up. I've got your life under complete control. I know all about you, more about you than anyone else, obviously, than you think you know. Just shut up, get before me, and let me take control of your life. Don't want what isn't my will for you. Don't insist on your own way. Let me fulfill my plan in your life. And then we come to that age of perfection, that completion, that maturity. And this is related because it's a threefold, we'll use the word perfection because that's what we've heard, but it's a Christian perfection, and it involves three elements. It involves a maturing of the fruit of the Spirit in our life. Love, joy, peace. Right, so you've all read Galatians 5, haven't you? The fruit of the Spirit. But right in the midst of that fruit, the contrast between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, it speaks of those that have crucified the flesh. Those that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. cross is central. The cross is the revelation. The cross is central to this message, to the vision. Because you've got self-love or you've got God's love. And it's a maturing in our lives of the fruit of the Spirit and a crucifying of the works of the flesh. That's the first part of perfection. When Jesus said in Matthew 48, be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect, look what he said. What a comparison that our love, it's in the context of love, our love is to be as God's love, because in his love, in his grace and mercy, he causes the sun to shine, the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. His love is unconditional, and that's the example of our love. And the second aspect is holiness, a perfection or completion of holiness in our life. What does holiness mean? It means separation. And because we're then separated unto God, we become like him, he who is holy, pure, undefiled. We take on his nature, his character. And that is a work of the Holy Spirit. And it's only possible to those who have received the baptism. As we yield to the Holy Spirit, we then experience that separation, that holiness. And through the trials, through the word, we heard it recently from our pastor, through the word, the Holy Spirit begins to clean us down, doesn't he? He cleanses us through the word, through the washing of water by the word. We begin to experience holiness. It's not human self-improvement, but it's as we yield to the Spirit, we overcome in all things, we then begin to experience a gradual improvement in our spiritual life. We begin to experience holiness. And then the third element of this perfection, which is all what we're supposed to know as the vision, is a completion, perfection and maturing of consecration in our life. And that is the subject of most of our teaching and preaching. Yielding, emptying, dying, overcoming, and commitment as disciples. Those five things: yielding, emptying, dying, overcoming, commitment. That is our consecration. Discipleship. To be a disciple of Christ is to empty, is to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow Jesus. It isn't just about reading Bibles and going to church. It's taking up our cross, following Jesus. And that's where the Gethsemane experience comes in. We will lack the stamina, we will lack the maturity to consistently yield to the cross until we have sought this out, just get alone between you and God and talk it out with him. Settle it, sweat it out with him. This is not being saved. That should have been settled a long time ago. There's so many people, usually the same ones each week, up at the altar after every message, rededicating their life to the Lord. They have no vision. Let's settle it. Right, I'm born again. I'm spirit filled. Now, Lord, let's march on. What's the next thing to the fullness of Christ? What is the next thing you have for me? What is the purpose of the baptism in the Holy Spirit? And the Lord will then begin to show you, to work with you. Sonship, the fullness of Christ, overcoming in all things, growing up into Christ in all things. And this is through the word, this is through the teaching. As we submit to this teaching, opening our hearts to it, let him work it out in our lives. It's different for each one of us. We can't copy one another. God has a specific plan for you and I, dear friends. And it revolves around the cross. Pray. So there's action, those five things, the yielding, that absence of resistance, That absence of self-will, the total affection in our heart, that's yielding. But God has to show you what those things mean. The Holy Spirit, like he said, less words, more experience. God has to work it. Praise God. Praise God, we can relax in this. Hebrews 4, for example. Oh, the Lord is shutting me up. Apart from in the pool, proper shutting me up. Let me show you how. In a good way. In a good way. Praise God, a wonderful thing. Nothing negative about this at all. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Praise God. Praise God. Under that scrutiny, how can... But praise God, it doesn't end there, does it? He then says, he always gives us a way of escape. He then says in verse 14, seeing they have a great high priest. Isn't that the point? Praise God. That word exposing and dealing with the powers of darkness, and we're confronted with the fact that God knows everything there is to know about us, but he's made provision for that. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. So that exposure, that knowledge is not to condemn, but to encourage us to go further in him. Because all that he knows is covered by the blood. He still loves us in spite of all that he knows about us, because he's dealt with that sin. We're born again. We're new creations in Christ. And all that stuff that is exposed is to be delivered. Remember, we looked last time, you know, an interchangeable term for salvation is deliverance. This walk is a walk of deliverance. God's word is delivering us. His spirit is laying us bare and ripping it all out, or however you want to say it, taking it all out. But he is doing it, and he's removing it. None of me, all of him. Praise God. And we have a high priest over us. He's our king, as we looked at earlier. He's now ruling over us. We've received that message of discipleship. We're submitting to him. Now he is our king, no longer out of hand. We're no longer undisciplined. And as we yield to his spirit, covered by his blood, as we look to him, faith in his blood, he cleanses us. He's perfecting us for our ministries, for the great warfare that lies ahead, so that Satan can have nothing in us to accuse us. He's cleansing us for his presence, like Esther, preparing us to spend eternity in his presence. He's preparing us now for our millennial ministry, our rulership with him. Praise God. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He's weakening us, not to destroy us, but to throw us upon him in total dependence. Praise God. Why is God giving us this vision? Why is he revealing it? So that by his grace we fulfill it. It's not to condemn us, but he's preparing, he's working all these things that we fulfill that vision. Now, I've only touched on a few things tonight. It's absolutely impossible to say it, because everything you've heard for the last 30 years is part of the vision. It's our lifelong walk in the deeper life. And any work that does not have as its goal perfection, preparation, restoration, manifest glorification, and all of those things need explaining. But any of those things, if those things are not the central issue for why we're gathering in the word and prayer, then that work will ultimately, well, it'll have to go through great tribulation. For the tribulation rapture, for us to be part of the pre-tribulation rapture, the first fruits rapture, again, the parable of the 10 virgins, that's part of the vision, isn't it, that we're the 5 wise. For that to be our experience, these things that we've mentioned as the vision have to be in our thinking, our consecration. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That has to be what we're about. In closing, I want to look at why people have missed it. I don't want to be critical in this. We can all miss it, except the Lord show us. But in 1 Peter, remember we were looking about the fact that they didn't have a king. So they went all over the place, doing what they wanted, what they felt was right. Does that sound familiar today? Goodness me. 1 Peter chapter, sadly in the body of Christ as well as the world, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11, speaking of what the Spirit was speaking through the prophets, verse 11, 1 Peter 1 verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them, so the Spirit of Christ was in the prophets speaking through them, was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Praise God. Just verse 11 there. Chapter 1, verse 11. Do you see the two strings of prophecy? The sufferings of Christ, the glories that would follow. The reason that he was rejected, it was all part of God's plan through the determinate counsel or hand, but they by wicked hands took and crucified the Lord of glory, the Prince of life. They crucified Jesus, but that was part of God's plan. They were looking for a great, huge, you know, army to deliver them from the Romans. They wanted him to be a king and a Messiah, a glorious deliverer, get rid of the Roman oppression. They could not understand one Messiah, two advents, and the first one had to be that suffering servant who went to the cross. But all the prophets of God have promised restoration, the restoration of the glorious God, Israel at its center, a glorious millennial reign. But first the cross, first he had to come as a suffering servant. He's now preparing to return as that reigning, that conquering king. He's fulfilling the ministry of priest we looked at earlier. He's now getting ready. He's preparing us to enter into that. He will then, when that work is completed, we looked at that threefold perfection. When that is completed, he will rapture us. And we will return with him to set up that kingdom. Praise God. The sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow. But what is our vision? This is the problem. Do we see that? Are we consecrated to that? Have we read deeper life in that light? That is the plan. Those are the principles of God's plan for us to be worked out in a specific individual way by the Spirit. We each have different callings and ministries, and God will work that out in our lives as we submit to it. Anything else you read from any other saints, from any other writing or book, will make no sense unless you learn what it is to yield to the Spirit. You won't get a more profound revelation of the purpose for your salvation than deeper life in the Spirit. As I've said tonight, I've rushed a little bit through them in order to fit it all in, but they don't make sense because they each, in this context, because they each need explaining. The detail of it has to be brought out. What does restoration mean? What is the kingdom of God? How is it expressed? You know, what does preparation mean? What does perfection mean? What do you mean manifestation? So all of these, it takes a lifetime to open it up, to explain it, to experience it, to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal and to work it in our lives. Everything that you've been hearing for the last 30 to 40 years is visionary. Once we get a hold of the vision, everyone say is visionary. Once we get a hold of these principles, everything we then say and think and do is deeper life. And we evaluate it in that sense. That doesn't mean to say that nothing else is valid, but it has to be kept in its proper place. That's all we're saying. It's all part of what God is showing us, all part of what God is revealing. And the overcomer will know whether he's receiving, you know, the meat of the word or something. Well, that was interesting. Okay, praise the Lord, no worries. That's fine, it's interesting. It's all part of what God is showing us. But at the end of the day, the thing that will satisfy, the only thing that will feed, the only thing that will lead us to the Holy of Holies is the message of the cross, the deeper life, that total consecration, that total surrender to the Holy Spirit. Dear friends, are we beginning to experience the cost of this walk? Are we beginning to understand that God is requiring us to grow up, to be sons, to serve? I mean, that's a whole message in itself. The difference between and being served. Many Christians think they know what it is to be in ministry, but they don't serve. Because 24/7 doesn't belong to Jesus. You know, all that I am and all that I have, every thought, every heartbeat, it belongs to the Lord. Because if it doesn't, if 23/7 belongs to the Lord, who is using the one 12 hours a day? Who's using the other 12? So friends, you know, let the Lord work this. Only the Holy Spirit can do this. This is impossible with man, but it's possible with God. And this is why we go back to that Gethsemane. I'll do this in my own strength. Get to count the cost. Lord, this is going to cost me everything, isn't it? This is beyond me. But Lord, you've revealed it to me. You've presented this to me. And you have not done that to see me fail. I'm not going to fail in this because this is between you and me. Show me what you have to show me in this. You know, use your own words. But basically, it's the Lord taking over. Now, friends, it's talking this out with the Lord, isn't it? It's opening the heart and acknowledging if there's, because Jesus himself had to say it, if there's any other way, if there was any other way, then Lord, please show me that. But nevertheless, you know, make this cup pass from me. I can't drink this in my own strength. Nevertheless, not what I will, but you will. It's what you want. Now, he's the one who will work it. He's been through it. He's been through it. Those stripes on his back. Every broken sinew. Every broken... Praise God, his bones weren't broken. That's easy, isn't it? But he was disjointed. The sin... Well, you know, blood everywhere. Beautiful body destroyed on that cross. He's been through it. He knows. And yet he didn't even flinch. Didn't even utter a sound. Didn't even go, ouch. Just like a lamb. Flinching. Because why? Because he had that vision. He saw many sons being brought to glory. He saw the perfection of his Father's will, the completion of his Father's will for his kingdom, for his people. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. And that's how you and I are going to endure this. For the joy that is before us. Because Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Because it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So yes, in this season, we're going to be hearing some deeper life teaching. We're going to be going into more detail. So don't feel too bad if you didn't understand what's just been said. Every part of that requires more detail. But that's a general overview of the few things that comprise the vision, the perfection, the preparation, the restoration. It's all in deeper life. Open that up, ask the Lord to show you, and that will get you out of self. Why am I going through these things? Why am I rest? Why haven't I got this? Why isn't that happening? What's the matter? What's going on? All these problems. You'll never get the answer looking inwards. The vision, by definition, is a heavenly given thing. Faith, discipleship, faith is at the very heart of discipleship. Faith enables us to let go and let God. Praise God. So, friends, a lot to think about there, a lot to ponder. Some of you may not have heard those concepts before. Some of you may have heard them but dismissed them as, well, that's his opinion. But no, the Lord is meaning business with us. He's meaning business with us. He held nothing back, and he's requiring the same of us, that we don't hold anything back. And so, yes, praise God. There is a joy to this walk. There really is. But that joy, that peace, that blessing, that knowledge of the resurrection power, life and power of Christ comes after we've yielded by his grace to the work of the cross. Amen. Praise God. Well, thank you, brethren. Thank you for listening, for your time. You know, God is working that in each one of us. It's by his Spirit, but it's something that we have to be honest about. Do I really want this? Is this something that I treasure in my heart? Or is this something, well, I think I better do because, you know, it makes me feel important, or for whatever other reason. I don't want to be seen to be the one that's missing out on this. Get before God just as you are, with all that you think is wrong, all that you think is right. Get before him as you are. Lord, search me, try me, know my ways. You know everything already. Lord, you've put within my heart, you've given me this revelation, you've given me this vision, you've let me hear it. Put this within my heart. Show me what it means. Give me the grace for this, because I cannot do this in my own strength. And you know the first thing that Jesus said in closing, the first thing he said to introduce the life, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. When we come to an end of ourself, when we understand we are utterly useless, we have nothing in ourselves for this. This cannot come from our own resources. We are poor in spirit. Spirit speaking, abject poverty. Then praise God, you've prayed the right prayer. You've understood the message. You've taken the first step on this deeper life journey. Only God can give us the strength, the grace, the wherewithal to walk this walk. But that's not a cop-out. That is going to cost us everything. In return for the fullness of Christ, we must put the fullness of self, all our desires, all our aims, all our ambitions, all our I thinks, all of that goes to the cross. Praise God, so that we can experience his fullness. Amen. Well, praise God. Not an easy message, is it? Praise the Lord. But God wouldn't give it to us unless he knew that we would fulfill his end time purposes. Praise God. God bless you, brethren. Thank you for listening. Amen. So I appreciate your fellowship and your staying through a message like this.
Let him in constancy, for